All right. So last week we were looking at faith righteousness, and I highlighted some stuff to review for what we looked at last week. We need to remember that our righteousness is a gift, and you cannot pay for a gift. If you pay for it, then it's no longer a gift, right? It means it's something that you bought. We didn't buy anything. It was a gift. It was given to us freely. Righteousness must be received as a gift from God. Romans 3:10 said, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." So none of us were righteous until we received that gift. And Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But then in Romans 6:23, Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death." Wages, that's what we earn, right? Our wages, we earn our wages. So what we earned is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So again, remember, our righteousness is a gift. In Genesis 15, it said that Abraham believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Just by believing, God accounted Abraham for righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he, God the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin," Jesus had never sinned, "to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So, something I said last week was, how much sin did Jesus have to commit to become sin on the cross? Zero, right? But he became sin for us. So all of that sin that we all committed got put on him. So he never sinned. So how many righteous acts do we have to perform to become righteous? Zero. It ain't about what we do in our righteous acts. That was the trade-off. Jesus took all of our sin and we took his righteousness. And that was the gift. In Ephesians 2, it said, "For by grace," grace is the provision of God, "you have been saved through faith." Through faith. That's our part. It's all we have to do is believe like Abraham did. And then put that faith into works, of course. But "for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So we need to remember it isn't what we do, it's about what Jesus did. And when we remember that, we don't have to get hung up on if we were, well, we messed up or whatever. We don't have to get hung up on that. We're righteous because Jesus was righteous. And we believe in Jesus, and God accounted that as righteousness towards us, just like Abraham. Remember, Jesus never got angry at the sinners. He only rebuked those who were self-righteous, the ones who thought that they could earn God's favor by all of their good acts and following the law, or what the Pharisees did. So that was what we looked at last week. That was just a quick snapshot of last week's recording. Is available. The notes are available. You can have the whole thing if you want it. Just gotta go to the church website. Okay, so today, remember, we're still laying a foundation of the basics. So today, it's lesson seven is the ministry offices and the motivational gifts. And this it's going to give us some good insight on some of the verses that we've read all our lives, but we just didn't know how to categorize them. Okay, so Micah, will you read Luke 4:18 and 19?
Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
So, the acts that Jesus was to do was proclaim Go ahead, just hit those few things that he was supposed to do.
Proclaim good news to the poor, proclaims liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set liberty those who are oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
All right, so Jesus knew what he was supposed to do, right? Now, in Matthew 28, 18 and 20 is the what do we call that?
Great commission.
The Great Commission. Thanks. I was just having a little bit of a brain freeze. Okay, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And this is after he died and resurrected. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so he has that authority. Now he says, go. He's telling, with his authority, he's telling us, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Okay, so Christ has his ministry, and then with his authority, he's given us a ministry. And now we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We're the ones that carry out Jesus's ministry. We're the ones that keep furthering it. He did his work, but it's like a Ponzi scheme, right? It starts at the top and then it just spreads out. Ponzi schemes are bad. Don't think I'm talking bad about Jesus, but it's just a big triangle, right? You have the tip and then it just keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And that's us. We're the hands and feet of Jesus to carry on his ministry. Why was Eve created? To help Adam with his ministry, right? Why are we called the bride of Christ? Because we were created to help Jesus with his ministry. So how do we do that? And let's look at some of that stuff. We've already learned about we do that through the power of being baptized in the Holy Spirit in an earlier version, but let's talk about some more logistical things here, okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Start in verse 4. Okay, and we're going to be speaking about gifts, but there's three categories of gifts. There's spiritual gifts, there's the fivefold administrative offices, and then there's the motivational gifts. So we're going to categorize these gifts that we read about, okay? 1 Corinthians 12:4 says there are diversities of gifts. Now this part, I'll just finish it. There are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. We're talking about spiritual gifts here, and we'll look at all these things, but this is talking about the three different types. There are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So that references the fivefold administrative offices. And verse 6, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So the diversities of activities is the motivational gift. So that this verse 12, 4 through 6 in 1 Corinthians is telling us there's three types right there. So in verse 4 says there are nine spiritual gifts, and they are given as the Spirit wills. That's down in verse 11. And we'll get to that. And we'll read that. And then in verse 5, where it says there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, this is talking about the fivefold ministry offices: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And we'll look at that in Ephesians 4. And then in verse 6, where it says, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Those diversities of activities are the seven motivational gifts. These are different from the spiritual gifts. They're activities that God placed inside everyone. Okay, so as we go through these, we're all going to have a better understanding of the different categories. And We don't decide what gift we need. The Holy Spirit equips us with the gifts we need to do the job in that time. Okay, so let's look at verses 7 through 11 here. Start looking at the spiritual gifts. So, 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. See that?
And what version are you reading from
The
again?
New King James.
Okay.
I should have told you
I should answer
earlier.
that. I'll let you go with that. Thank you.
Okay, so the manifestation of the Spirit coming to life, is given to each one. Is it for you? No, it's for all. Okay, it's the Spirit working through you for everybody else. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. That's one of them. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So we have no control over that, over what comes through, but it's as the Holy Spirit wills us. Okay? So those were the nine spiritual gifts: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of healings, faith, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. So those are the nine spiritual gifts. And we're going to look at these more the next time, not Easter, but the week after Easter. But today they're talking about the other gifts, not these spiritual gifts. These nine spiritual gifts are not for us personally to profit. They are for us to minister to other people and to help them lead them to the Lord. That reminds me of the gal that followed Paul around and kept prophesying, and they finally got to shut her up because, I mean, there was men who were profiting off of her. It was a spirit that was it wasn't lying, but it wasn't edifying anybody, or it wasn't for the profit of all. I just remember that story as I read that. Okay, when we talk about the nine spiritual gifts, the five ministry offices, and the seven motivational gifts, it isn't always so cut and dry. You can't put these things in a box because they can blend together. They're just good ways to try to talk about what gifts we have and how they work. So we don't need to get hung up. Well, was that a word of knowledge or was that a word of wisdom? We don't need to put labels on everything. The point is what the purpose it's trying to get accomplished when it does come through. Sometimes we have misconceptions, especially believers who were born again as children and never had a Damascus Road conversion. It wasn't big and spectacular like Paul's, right? It's just a little bit more. I did it as a kid. It's my story. Did it as a kid, been in the church all my life, and never had that big grand moment. Something really dramatic. Because they don't understand the spiritual gifts, they don't even realize they do move in the gifts. So if you're like that, it's maybe a little harder to accept because I've been around for a long time and, I've seen some stuff. That's what we're trying to talk about here, right? We have to trust the word over our experiences. Just because I haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not true. I mean, the word says it, that makes it true. And the word of God says that each one is given these gifts. Therefore, we know that every believer has access to these gifts from God. So the word says it, that makes it true, even if we've never seen it yet. In verse 11, But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. The gifts are distributed by the Holy Spirit as He wills at the times when you need them to help others and to be a success. So if the Lord is trying to show Nate something, He might use one of us to have it come through for the sake of Nate or for the sake of all of us at the time. But we have no control over that. That's a spiritual thing that would come through us for this, for to help others and to be a success. All right. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:5 says that there are different ministries. And ministries means serving. So it's a good way that when you see ministries, just think of serving, because that's what ministries are. And this means different ways of serving. So there are different ministries, different ways of serving. The fivefold ministry offices are not the super dupers. They're meant to serve the body of Christ. Yes, they are leadership gifts, but how did Jesus lead? He led through servanthood. So he's the author and perfecter of our faith. How did he do it? He did it by serving. The Lord chooses the people to serve in these ministry offices. You can't just decide to be a prophet, a pastor, or evangelist. If you do, you'll be trying to do something you weren't graced by God to do, meaning that He hasn't given you the ability to fulfill that office. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So just because we might not have one of these offices of these ones that are listed in well, we got apostle and prophet and teacher, evangelist and teacher. I said teacher twice.
Pastor.
Pastor, those ones, those five, they're all in Ephesians 4. Just because he hasn't given you that, but we're all called to give a reason anytime anyone asks us for a reason for the hope that's in us. So we're supposed to be able to express our testimony and the hope that we have in him to anybody at all times. So it isn't just those people who are supposed to be doing that. It's for all of us to do. That's the reason why they listed this 1 Peter 3. We're all called to be able to share with others what we believe and why. We're all given the Great Commission, what we read in Matthew 28. However, that does not mean we're all called to the office of evangelist or teacher, but we all are called to be able to share with others of what we believe and why. Okay, Ephesians 4:11. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." So these are your ministerial gifts or duties. Jesus gave some to fill these ministry offices. It doesn't say all. He gave some to be these ministry offices. On a football team, not everyone can be the coach or the quarterback. This is a coaching type role. Okay, these roles of those five that it's listed as. However, these some people are not more important or more valued by God. He just places these people strategically because he knows what he is doing. So we need to remember that. They're not the super dupers. They're just like everybody else. It's just the different role that God gave them to do. Okay, and why did he give them to do? Verse 12. "For the equipping of the saints." Who are the saints? All of us who have been sanctified. All of us who have been born again. So these five ministries, God put them in their place for the equipping of all of us for the work of ministry, for serving. Right? We're going to do it like Jesus. We need to serve. Why? For the edifying of the body of Christ, to be built up, to keep the big scheme going. I'm mad that I use Ponzi scheme because it has such negative connotation, but it started at the top and it's spreading, right? We got to keep that going. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We got to keep this thing spreading to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, the purpose of the fivefold ministry offices is to equip and edify the body of Christ. They are on the back lines of equipping the front lines for the work of the ministry. You think about, think about the army, right? They got their, I don't know, I'm going to mess this up. They got captains, lieutenants, generals, whatever. But it's the front lines that are going out, okay? You are the saints. You are called to the work of the ministry, the lay people in the church, not the fivefold ministry offices. They're the ones who are meant to be ministering to people as they go through their everyday lives, the saints. The saints are the lay people in the church are the ones who are meant to be ministering to people as they go out through their everyday lives. Think about it. How is the thing going to spread if only the five people who God gave some of those people, are they supposed to go spread it all? Or is it the multitudes? How's it going to grow bigger? You need the multitudes to do it. And so one of the biggest myths in the church is that the pulpit gifts, the fivefold ministers, whatever, are the ones who are supposed to be doing all the work of the ministry while the rest of us spectate from the crowd and be entertained. It's not like that. It's all of us are on the front lines, supposed to be going out and doing it. That's the Great Commission. We just read that in the beginning. But like, hey, so and so needs to be ministered to. Well, send the pastor, or send whoever. And well, why? Why? Anybody? We're all supposed to know that we're supposed to do it, and we're supposed to be equipped to do it. What we read in Peter, right? Be ready at all times to give a reason. So on the day of Pentecost, that was the day that the Holy Spirit came down. It was a really bad day for the devil. All he had to deal with was one Jesus. But after the Holy Spirit was poured out on all who were present, that's in Acts 2 and Joel 2, he prophesied about it. He had thousands of little Jesuses to deal with. So Satan just saw his adversary grow exponentially, right? Therefore, he came up with this clever lie that only those in the fivefold ministry offices were the super dupers, while the rest of the people go to work all day and give money to the fivefold ministry offices, and they could do the work of the ministry. That is a lie. Okay, that's a tool of Satan. That's not the way it's supposed to work. God has called every single believer to the work of the ministry. Yes, some, the minority, will be called to one of these ministry offices and hold that office as their full-time position and dedicate their lives to it. Again, these are the coaches. She can't get the G I oh. These are the coaches, the ones who inspire, equip, and edify the majority of the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. This is true regardless of your age, gender, economic status, or any other demographic. You guys hear that, women? They say gender.
Okay.
I'm just proving my point that, this is there's now in Christ, there's neither man nor woman, nor Jew nor Greek, nor slave, or any of that, right? You are the hands and feet of Jesus. You're called to impact those around you for the gospel. This is so important to understand because some people seek these titles as though it makes them more special. But you're never going to be more special than you are right now. As a child of God, you are loved by God, and you are special. You do not need to try to force a claim on one of these five titles to make yourself feel special. We are special as what we are, We don't need to hold some kind of title to make us more important. So if we, as we talk about these things, this is an example they used. It's a little silly, but it kind of sheds some light on what each one does, right? They use the hand example. Have you heard that one before, Jennifer? The hand example. Okay. The apostle is the thumb. The thumb sticks out from the rest, is the one who is a sent one to start or pioneer a works. He's a special messenger. Paul was the apostle of grace, right? Usually you have a unique message to bring. So they go and they're usually sent somewhere to go spread a certain message. The apostle works in concert with the other ministry officer, works with all of them. Sometimes people start as a pastor and then move into apostle later, but this is how they help us remember the different jobs or titles and jobs. Okay, the prophet is the index or pointer finger. The prophet points the way and shows direction. Office of a prophet is someone who reveals the truth and mobilizes people or rallies the people into the work of the ministry. So they point the way, they reveal the truth, point to the truth. And just because a believer operates in prophetic spiritual gifts, such as a word of knowledge, doesn't mean they are meant to hold the ministry office of a prophet. So, again, the office of a prophet is someone who reveals truth and mobilizes people into the work of ministry. Hey, the work is needed over there. Here's the truth. The work is needed that way. Let's go. Okay. Okay. The evangelist is the middle finger.
Oh.
They made a joke on that thing too. But
Yeah.
okay, the middle finger. The evangelist sticks out further than the rest. You guys see that? The middle finger sticks out further than the rest. That's the evangelist. He goes out further for the purpose of winning the lost. He's the one really going out there trying to bring back the lost. An evangelist will actually motivate and inspire other people to win the lost. You can tell an evangelist because they will stand up and say, "I'm not an evangelist, but we all need to go out and evangelize people." Oh, you're an evangelist. That's, you have that in your heart. Okay, the pastor. Pastor is the ring finger. I'll use the left hand. Pastor is the ring finger. The pastor is married to the church. The pastor is the shepherd. He loves the flock. A shepherd protects and provides. The pastor should provide with food, good teaching, and with good leadership. The pastor protects the flock, runs off the wolves, etc. The pastor is responsible for the flock. That's the pastor's job. And then the teacher is the pinky. It's a little cheesy, but because the little finger fits in your ear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The teacher explains the word and encourages people in their faith. So that's their little silly way to remember. We got the apostle, we got the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and the teacher. So it's a way you can learn the roles, kind of remember what they do, and remember them on your hand as well. So how do you know what gift you have? Do other people tell you? I mean, we've kind of went around the room and done that before. Or does the Holy Spirit tell you? The Holy Spirit tells you. Be very careful of people who come along and tell you who and what you are. Someone else's opinion of you or label of you does not supersede what the Lord has told you. You know, that kind of, just reading that out loud makes me think of my dream and what the Lord told me. So that's what I need to go by. If you have multiple people who you know hear from God and they tell you the same thing, You may need to pray and ask the Lord to reveal that to you. Like, I see all these people are telling me the same thing, Lord. Do you agree with this? Will you reveal this to me? Because all that matters is what you say, not what others say. However, when you're called into a ministry office, you will know when he called you, what he told you. This is something that you will know for sure because it's not a glamour thing. That also reminds me of the moment I received clarity from the Lord as well. I knew exactly what he called me to do and what he told me. The Holy Spirit will be the one who tells you, and other people can at times confirm it to you. You can identify people who are called to ministry offices by their influence and responsibility. They will have authority in their area. Regardless if they ever are called by the title of apostle or evangelist or prophet, they will display the fruit that comes from that office. In fact, they will rarely adopt those titles for themselves. So you won't, people who are really an apostle won't say, "Oh, I'm Apostle Dan." They just display it, and their fruit shows it. I'm Evangelist Casey. I don't need to be called Pastor Dan. The PD. I don't need that. A characteristic of an apostle is that they will begin to raise up leaders and plant churches or groups of believers, etc. They'll raise up the other four of the fivefold ministry. You'll see people operating in these offices without ever declaring it to the world. It is authority, responsibility, and restraint. Restraint, if they are a heavy shepherd or forcing their ministry office on people, they often may have missed it. Usually, people in these offices operate in restraint. Now, culturally, in our culture, if you're a pastor in a church, people will address their pastor as pastor. But that's the exception. That's their words, not mine. When seeking the Lord, just serve and work in the ministry and follow the direction of the Lord, one step at a time. In time, the Lord will reveal this to you. And the longer that you work in the ministry, it'll be revealed to you. Let the Lord reveal it to us, right? Don't let other people tell us who we are and what we are. Let God dictate that. The Holy Spirit will tell us. Okay, that was the end of the fivefold ministry offices. Let's get into the motivational gifts now. Turn to Romans 12, verse 6. I realize I haven't been looking at the screen. Are you guys doing okay on there? Following along good? Okay. Maybe I need to make eye contact once in a while. All right, Romans 12, verse 6 through 8 says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." So we're speaking about gifts again, but we're talking about different gifts this time. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, remember that means serving, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Other versions say with he who loves. I'll just keep going. I'll get off script right now. So this is for everybody. This is even believers and non-believers. When God the Father created every person, he put these gifts inside of them. It can be one, it could be a combination of these different gifts. Even unbelievers have these gifts in them. These work even in our personalities. We are motivated by these gifts. Better at some things than others. That's why they're called the motivational gifts. Motivational gifts are actions, or what motivates people to action. It manifests as a desire or a talent, a natural ability. These are prophecy, ministry, which means serving, teaching, exhortation,
That's encouragement.
that's encouragement, giving, leadership slash administration, and mercy slash love. So let's go through these. The motivational gift of prophecy. The spiritual gift of prophecy, the ministry office of a prophet, and the motivational gift of prophecy are three different things. Okay, so let's not get them mixed up together. This motivational gift of prophecy is more in the area of wisdom and being a visionary. This is like seeing things in the future, not like fortune telling, but as in being innovative, planning for the future, and thinking outside of the box. For example, Elon Musk. We don't know if he's saved or not, of course, but he simply thinks differently. He's a good example because we know what he's able to do. One of his motivational gifts is probably this prophecy gift, thinking outside the box and being innovative, seeing the future and creating new technology. These people could be dreamers. What does the future hold? How can we improve things? So these motivational gifts of prophecy are these kind of people. You know, I don't think I have this. I can think all like, you know, I don't want to deny if I do have it, but like I'm always like, how can I make like a side business from it? And I just come up with nothing all the time. You know, I just don't have that dreamer mentality or things like that where other people do, and I see it in them. The motivational gift of ministry or serving. These people just love to serve. They just want to help in whatever way they can. They don't want to be the leader. They don't want to be number one. They don't even want to be necessarily to be recognized. I think of Denny. You know, I think of Denny when I read this. He has the gift of ministry. These people are motivated by helping people clean, put things in order. They'll fix a problem before anyone even realizes there's a problem. Other people in care professions have this motivational gift to help, to serve, and to minister. That word ministry literally means to serve or to help. Many times, others will try to put these people into leadership positions when really they're designed to serve. They are motivated simply to be of help, not to lead. So, I mean, we've all seen that before. Like, hey, you're really great at this. You should be our leader. And then it doesn't work out for them.
Well, you always show up, so let's just go
Yeah.
ahead and give you every
But, and
credit.
then they struggle there because they're not in their lane. I'm better in that role than this role. The motivational gift of teaching. This is someone who can take something that seems complicated and explain it in a way that makes it simple and easy to understand. Some of these people are actually teachers in schools and colleges. However, it could be something like a person who comes to fix your heater and in 5 minutes helps you understand how it works. You know, it doesn't mean you got to be a teacher or a professor or something. It just means you have this skill where, yeah, let me explain this to you. Oh, I get it now. And you got that gift. When someone comes around with curiosity, it could be a child or an adult, and you feel the desire to explain what you're doing, you want them to understand the process and the details. A teacher will have a desire to help people understand, and this doesn't have to be spiritual things. So these are gifts that everybody has, even non-believers. And what we can all start listing people and put them in these categories. So like, yep, I see that in them. Okay, the motivational gift of exhortation or encouragement. These people just make you feel good about yourself when you're around them. Again, this gift can be even inside unbelievers because the Father places these gifts in us as part of our personalities. These are your cheerleaders. Cheerleaders, they are good coaches. They build you up and make you feel like you can do anything. They're naturally optimistic people, and they'll show others where their strengths are. I think
Yeah.
about you, Jennifer, when I read this. You always make me feel good about myself and make me feel like I can do what the Lord's calling me to do. Okay. The motivational gift of giving. Verse 8 says, he who gives, give with liberality. These people usually love to make money. Often, people who are entrepreneurial are motivated by the desire to give. Others may accuse them of being greedy because their focus is on making money. However, many times their motivation is not greed, but giving. They want to help people through philanthropy, giving their money to charities or individuals who need it. Ashley, Carly and Ashley, the ones who came up with this teaching. Ashley has been accused of this because he wanted to make money in order to give it away. He doesn't have a love for money, he has a love for giving. That is his motivation and his entrepreneurial gift. With liberality means with freedom, give freely. Mark Hankin says, if you get addicted to giving, the Lord will support your habit. The motivational gift of leading or ruling. This is the person who says, okay, everyone, this is what we're going to do. Leaders are the organizers, they're the ones to plan everything out. A leader will take chaos and create order out of the chaos. Strong-willed children are often meant to be leaders because they naturally don't want to be told what to do. They want to be the leader. However, we all know that the best leaders are also the best followers. So even leaders have to learn to follow well. Many times, a way you can tell what gifts you have are if those are the areas in which you have been attacked by other people. So think about that. Perhaps if people accuse you of greed, you have the gift of giving. Or if they say you just love everyone, you're too soft, you probably have the gift of mercy. Or if you're so bossy, no, you probably have the gift of leadership. It comes out in your personality. Listen to this. The enemy has been around people long enough to spot potential in them, and he will do anything he can to attack them in the area of their gifting. Because he's terrified that they will actually use it. That's why you get attacked with what God put in you. The motivational gift of mercy or love. People with the mercy motive don't judge other people or point out their faults. They're just full of love and compassion for people. These are the people who will leave the 99 and find the one. They will look for the outcast and try to bring them in. They will get emotionally connected easily and will sometimes be taken advantage of because they will love the unlovable. So you can have multiple gifts. If I'm reading this stuff and you're recognizing things in you, it isn't just one. You can have multiple gifts. These motivational gifts aren't always black and white. And you may operate in two or three of them at the same time. Maybe one is really prominent in you, though. If it is your motivation that keeps coming up, that is probably your motivational gift. Allow the Holy Spirit to highlight these things to you, and He will reveal your gift, your strengths to you. Ask the Lord to show you where your strengths are. If you don't recognize that you have any gifts, you won't pursue the opportunities that will make good use of them. Sometimes you feel like you don't fit because you aren't doing what you were created to do. If you're in a place where you aren't called, it can become very stressful because you aren't in your lane. So, and remember, why are we talking about this stuff? It was because we started off saying we're the hands and feet of Jesus, we are the saints. We're supposed to go do the works that we're called to do. So why do we need to look at gifts? Because we have this in us. These are the tools that he's given us to go do this work. And not everybody is created to do the same work, but the work that you were created for, it should be easy to find through these gifts that we all have. So that was the five ministerial offices and the seven motivational gifts, right? And then there's nine spiritual gifts, and we'll get to the nine spiritual gifts. They broke that up. They got more to say about that, and we'll talk about that after Easter. But I read these verses before, but I didn't ever realize there was three categories of this stuff. So once they kind of separated it and pointed this stuff out, I'm like, oh yeah, I see it now. I see that in the word. I just clumped them all together because it said gifts. But it gave me some better understanding reading through this. So, do we have any discussion, any questions, anything to speak about?
And I think it's like you said, it's a good trick of the enemy to take the focus off of us, the people, the lay people, and think all those guys are supposed to do the work, because it just, takes the fuel away. But yeah, we're all supposed to be going out, even women.
That's right. It says it in the word.
I love how you brought out that those gifts are even in non, God placed them there. It's such a good point. And even when we're looking at our children and we see those in them, we should start calling it out, praying and speaking it out to, God's going to use you, and you're going to be, because that's going to build them up in their faith too. And they're going to be able to accomplish a lot more than just,
Yeah, instead of being ashamed of
Yeah.
because somebody says you're bossy, but if you're saying you're gonna lead people someday, they're gonna feel that. They're gonna feel the good part of their gift instead of feeling ashamed for.
That completely changes it.
Yeah. What about you guys on screen? I know we could all think like, why were we reading about these things that everybody has? Well, because we have ministry to do, we have serving to do. So we gotta.
Looking at the foundations.
This is foundational. All right. Well, I think we're gonna pray for Cindy now.
Anybody, right? I was just gonna look up that scripture.
We'll pray for anybody, but
No.
I want to pray for Cindy.
I understand that. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save that sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. I think the NIV says, if anyone's in trouble, or there's many reasons to get prayer, is what I
So
was going to say.
don't turn away from that. He said, call on the elders.
Anoint him with oil.
Is it the prayer of faith of the elders or the prayer of faith of
And
the
the
sick?
prayer of faith just says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So I think it's all about faith, right?
Yeah, so co collectively. And I want to point out Mark 11. Verse 23. Remember, Jesus said, all authority's been given to me. Now you go out and do these things. Now I'm giving you authority to go do these things. That's where we started at today. In Mark 11:23, he says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That's our authority. That's the authority Jesus has given to us. So we need to know our authority and what we have. We have a mountain in front of us. We're allowed to speak to that mountain and say, no, not up in here. Go, get out, and believe it in my heart that my authority just cast that out. And I believe it in my heart. It's going to happen. That's what the Word of God says, and the Word of God is true. So we need to realize that we don't go and beg God to move our mountain for us when He gave us authority to do it. It's like a deputy who goes and is going to go make an arrest, and he calls the sheriff and says, "Hey, you know, I got this guy here. What do you want?" He goes, "I deputized you to do this. Arrest him." You know, we have been given authority as well. So we need to know the authority that we have as well, and then believe it in our heart. That's a whole nother, we can get it deep into our own authority. That teaching could last a while. But we need to realize that. We don't need to go begging God. He already wants the best for us. He wants to heal us. That's why he did it 2,000 years ago on the cross. So we don't need to beg God. We just need to claim the authority that we have and make it happen. So who else needs prayer?
I do.
Okay.
I want to specifically pray for the fluid in my retina to be gone, since that's the next step, I guess. So. Who else?
You could pray for my family. We're just kind of struggling and stuff.
Okay. To be unified, to
To get clarity and confidence in our own relationship with the Lord and our decision-making process with the Lord.
okay. How about you guys on screen? That's all right. Just watch us today. We'll call on you next week when you're with us.
Sorry, I was looking for the unmute button.
It's in the left lower corner.
Please pray for Mark and I. We also have decisions to make, and just pray for our health too, please.
Yeah. Well, stay on, Bobby. Don't mute yourself, okay?
Okay.
We're gonna do this differently than what we're used to, okay? We're gonna
Okay.
switch to our mountain, and we're gonna believe it in our heart, and we're all gonna be in agreement with you
Okay.
that this happened. So, Mom, you speak to your mountain. And cast it out, and we'll believe with you.
Okay.
We'll do what the word says for us to do. And Bobby, you say your prayer as well, and Carol, you as well, and Cindy, I'd like you to speak to your mountain as well. Okay? This is the authority that we have. This is the power that Jesus has given to us. So he wants us to keep spreading and keep the forwarding the kingdom. So he wants nothing but the best for us, so we can do those things. So we'll just start with Mom. We'll go to Cindy, to Carol, and then you can finish up, Bobby, okay?
Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command the fluid in my right retina to be gone. You have no place here. I live under the blessings of Abraham, not the curses. So any fluid must leave.
Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this group of people that love you. And I come before you now and ask for your healing. Claim the healing that is
Yes.
my right to claim, Father.
That's right.
And I ask that you cast out of my body every evil thing.
Get out.
I pray, Lord, that you give me what I need in this moment to keep walking forward, to be strong, and to show your power. I don't receive fear when the thoughts come in my brain, Father. I pray that you
Amen.
give me the tools I need to cast it out immediately. I thank you, Father, for everything that you have provided in my life, the trials that you have brought me through, and I trust in what you have for me, Lord. Thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I thank you so much for bringing me up here to worship your name today with my sisters and brothers, and have the opportunity to pray to you and demand that Satan is removed from our family and the confusion that
Okay.
he is
Yes.
trying to bring to us. I pray, Lord God, that you would give each one of my family members clarity, a
Thank you,
desire to
Jesus.
continue to seek you and to hear your word and what you have next for us. I just pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank
You, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, I just thank you for directing us here today. I thank you for this group of people. And I pray now, Lord, for clarity and direction, that your Holy Spirit would lead my family, Mark and I, as we venture out. And I claim wellness, I claim health, I claim healing over this home in your name, Jesus.
Amen. Now remember the second part of that verse, and you believe it within your heart and you do not doubt. You just use your authority. If you sit back and say, well, I hope that worked, that you don't really have much authority at all. No, I said it. Jesus gave me the authority to do it. I spoke it and it's gone. Okay, so remember that is a prayer of faith right there. So, and we only please him through faith. So, hold on, do not doubt. Remember the John 10:10 rule, right? He only came to give us life abundantly. It's the thief who came to steal, kill, and destroy. So if those thoughts come in and you start doubting, you use that verse to remember, what is this telling me? Oh, this is giving me fear. That's from you, Satan. I ain't taking that. I'm going to think about the abundant life that Jesus has for me. So,
And begin to thank God for the healing, for the
yeah.
clarity, for the well, whatever it is that you just pray for. Thank you for the habit of choice.
Give them gratitude. With my healing, right? For my spinal cord. It didn't happen all at once. I wanted it to happen all at once, but if you look back at August 2024 when I went out seeking it, I'm a lot different than I was then. And even though I left that place at Karis Bible College and said, well, I still kind of feel the same. If I look at myself today, I'm healed from where I came from. It's happening. It's more and more is happening every day. So you take joy in the little progresses that happen and know that, and you just keep claiming, I'm healed. I
Yes.
am healed. So, and I'm diabetes free now. So I have my
Amen.
doctor. So I am healed. He
Praise God.
didn't just heal me for one thing. He healed me for everything. So.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
There's a little testimony. I got a little fired up right there. But these are truths and these are still basic principles, and we will study them later on as well. So remember, we don't beg God to try to move. He's already given us the power and authority to do it ourselves. And this is how we're going to reach others as well. He told us to go heal the sick. How are we supposed to do it? By God, I'm begging you to help my friend here. No, I'm going to say, remove yourself. I will go do it because you've given me authority to do it. So, all right, Micah.
And that hope that we're rooting this in is the hope of the finished work that Jesus did already, not hoping that something's going to happen. He told us he was going to come, get crucified, and raised on the third day. And he did get raised on that third day. And that tomb was empty. So everything else he's ever told us, we can be sure that that's going to be true too. And all the things. So that's the hope that we rooted in, is what he's finished already, not, I hope this is going to happen.
He's already done it. And it's his righteousness that we receive from him, his healing, all the things that the atonement was for us, that he gave us. So it's we go to the bank, we don't beg, can I have my money? Can I please? No, we go to the bank, say, give me my money. It's mine. This is mine. All the things that Jesus gave me already, it's mine. I want them. So yes. All right. I'm gonna give us one little final prayer. And then we'll be done, okay? Oh Lord, I thank you for this day, the day that you've given us to share your word, to learn who you are, who you created us to be. We thank you so much for opening our eyes to these things. We pray that we give you thanks for the gifts that you've given us and the tools to become who you created us to be, Lord. And we ask that you continually show us how to comfort others, how to lead others to you, and to and do these this serving, Lord, that you have wanted us to do. We lift up our sister Carolyn, Lord, and we just lift her up and want to give her comfort and peace. And we love her so much, and we just want your peace, the peace that comes from you, Lord, to dwell inside of her and to fill her spirit with it. And we just want the best for her and comfort for her, Lord. And we ask that you bless the rest of this day, and we give you thanks and praise that next week we can all gather together and glorify you as a group. And we're just excited for it, Lord. So please give us a great week of seeking you. Have your spirit speak to us, soften our hearts, hear your word, plant seeds, let it grow, let it water. And we just very excited, Lord, for where you're taking us. And in your name, amen.
Amen.